as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yesterday, Liz and I went to a celebration. We were celebrating her parents' 60th wedding anniversary. We had gathered the family together, had a lovely meal together, looked over their wedding album, heard stories about the day, watched videos from people who weren't able to attend in person, sharing their memories and their love. It was a lovely afternoon with the family gathered to celebrate this marriage and look back on their wedding celebration. And prompted by this morning's readings, I've been thinking a lot about wedding celebrations over the last couple of weeks. And so I thought it might be interesting to gather together a few stories, accounts of different wedding customs from around the world. Now, a few weeks ago, one of Sarah Parson's sons got married in Lagos, a traditional Yoruba wedding. Sarah emailed me and told me a little bit about it. If you want more details, I'm sure she'll show you pictures. I'm sure there are plenty on her phone and videos. Oh yes, lots of things. And it was a big gathering of family and friends from both sides, but it's very much seen in that culture as being centered around the groom's family proving the worth of their son to marry the bride. And Yoruba weddings, apparently, the mothers are very much seen as the most important guests of the day. Whatever the mothers want, they get. There are two distinct parts to the day. There's the first ceremony, wearing traditional ceremonial outfit number one, lasting 2 hours, referred to as the engagement. And this begins with the procession of the entrance of the mothers, one at a time, with their courts. There are songs, and then the groom proceeds in with his supporting party, giving his reasons about why he's there and why he wants to marry his bride, why he deserves to marry his bride, prostrating himself before the bride's mother. And once accepted, he sits on the lap of the bride's mother whilst music is playing, then crosses over to his mum and sits on her lap and thanks her for being such a good mum. And then the bride comes in, Bryce, listen there, bride comes in, joins the groom, and they dance. Then everyone leaves, and everybody in the wedding party changes into traditional outfit number two for the party. And there's the couple dancing together, there's guests bringing gifts, there's the cutting of the cake, the first dance, gifts presented to the guests wearing the family cloth. Each side of the family have their own family cloth, so that's how you know who they're supporting. And of course, plenty of traditional food, and it lasts most of the afternoon on into the night. So that's a Yoruba wedding. I also asked Hussein to tell me something about weddings in Tehran, his family home. At weddings in Tehran, men usually wear suits, while women wear elegant, formal dresses, often decorated with sequins, beads, or other sparkling details. Iranian women apparently generally love wearing glamorous and beautifully decorated dresses to weddings. Sounds a bit similar to the UK. Iranian weddings are usually very large. Almost everyone close to the couple is invited, including relatives, extended family, friends, neighbours, even co-workers. A wedding with around 500 guests is quite common, and in many cases, there can be even more. And when guests arrive, they're usually welcomed with traditional drinks, fresh fruit, pastries and sweets. Later, a large dinner is served. Menu, depending on the family budget, usually at least two main dishes, several kinds of salads and desserts. And because Iranian weddings have so many guests, they're usually held in large wedding halls or banquet venues that are specially designed to host such big celebrations. Whatever the culture, whether it's the UK 60 years ago, Lagos, Tehran, or Palestine 2,000 years ago. It seems to me there are some things that most wedding celebrations have in common, across cultures, across time. And the first thing, the most important thing perhaps, is that it is a party. It is a celebration. There is joy and dancing and hope. That's the primary reason why Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet. It's why it's one of our core values here at All Saints, is celebrating. At the moment, a whole gang of our young people are at the Limitless Festival in Stafford, celebrating the goodness of God with thousands of young people from around the country. And there were great stories, weren't there, that came home from there last year of seeing God at work. I'm sure that there are going to be more this year. Some of us have been having little updates from Caroline through the weeks of what God's been doing in the lives of these young people. It's all about celebrating. The kingdom of heaven is like a banquet. It's like a party. Now, a quick aside for those of us, including me, who find big parties quite hard work. That's okay. I'm absolutely sure that there is room in the kingdom for all kinds of personalities and all kinds of different celebrations, whether it's big parties or little family gatherings, which are more our style. Whatever it is, the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet, it's like a party, it's a celebration. The second thing is that this party has guests and invitations. It's a real honour to be invited to a wedding. And there are real consequences to choosing to go or not to go. And it is rude to not show up if you said you're going. As we are the party people of the kingdom of heaven, we actually have kind of two different roles. We are both the invited guests and those who get to invite others to come along to this party and join the celebration. In the autumn, we're planning on running an alpha course so that we can invite people to the party. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're exploring what it means to follow Jesus, to come to Jesus' party. You're intrigued by it. You want to know more about what it means. Come along to Alpha. Find out more. Well, you might already be a follower of Jesus. You might be a member of the party. You might be a party person. Then be praying about who you might invite along to Alpha, along to church, along to the party. And pray for opportunities and look for opportunities and then take those opportunities. We've been praying, haven't we, over the last couple of years for perhaps five friends who we want to see come to know Jesus. Be praying perhaps particularly for them. Might I be able to invite them to Alpha? Might be able to go with them, to encourage them to come along and join in the party. So, what have we got? We've got Kingdom of Heaven is a celebration. It involves invitation. And we need to make a response to that invitation and share that invitation with others. And the third thing is that something that came out from those stories and from our own experience of weddings is that weddings generally involve special clothes. Whether that is bride's dress and all the preparation that goes into that and the groom never being able to see it, the groomsmen's suits or the wedding party or special hats. Anybody bought a hat for a wedding? Few people bought special hats for weddings. Both the wedding party and the guests have this special clothing. And in his letter to the Christians that lived in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote this. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. have clothed yourselves with Christ. As party people who live out the celebration of the kingdom of heaven in our lives, we are clothed with Christ. That is an amazing privilege, one that takes a lifetime to work out exactly what it means and how it works. I think it's something that's worth reflecting on when we're having our prayer times, when we're reading the Bible, when we're taking quiet time with God and just saying, okay, Lord, what does it mean for me to be clothed with Jesus today? In the conversations I'm going to have today, in the places I'm going to go, in the friendships I have, in my relationships, in school, in college, what does it mean for me to be clothed in Christ? To have put off the old things and to live in Christ. In the Revelation reading, doesn't it, we hear the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. I think that's connected. It's about living out as Jesus would live out in the places we are. Now this morning we are celebrating the baptisms of Hussein, Ellie and Hadi. They have responded to God's invitation to the wedding banquet. They have been clothed in Christ in their baptism. And as part of their preparation for today, they prepared testimonies, stories of how they heard this invitation, why they've chosen to respond to it. And so I'm going to finish by sharing their testimonies, their stories. Hussein writes, "I was introduced to Christianity by one of my colleagues at work in Iran. And through that journey, I came to understand about Jesus Christ. A verse that deeply transformed me was John 10:11, where Jesus said, 'I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.' Through these words, I understood that Jesus was saying that he cares for his followers and he protects them in times of danger. What touched my heart the most was realizing that Jesus ultimately gave his life for the salvation of humanity. Understanding the meaning behind these words changed the way I viewed Jesus and had a deep impact on my life. I've put my faith in Jesus Christ and have accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Through baptism, I want to obey Christ's command and show my commitment to follow him. To me, baptism symbolizes the death of my old life and the beginning of a new life in Christ." Yeah, why not? Ellie writes, "I became a Christian through my husband, Hussein. He shared a verse from Jesus with me that completely transformed my life through these words, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' From Luke, I encountered his mercy, generosity, and unconditional love. I realized that such an extraordinary level of kindness could not come from a mere human being. This led me to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What also touched me deeply was the fact that Jesus spoke these words while he was being crucified. Even in the midst of unimaginable suffering, he did not ask God to judge or punish those who were hurting him. He prayed for their forgiveness. At that moment, I saw a love and compassion unlike anything I had ever known. It was through this act of forgiveness by Jesus that I came to faith in him and believed him to be my Savior. I want to be baptized because I desire to be cleansed from my sins, strengthen my faith, and deepen my commitment to Jesus Christ. I want to follow his command and walk in obedience with him. Jesus himself asked John the Baptist to baptize him. Although Jesus was without sin and had no need for baptism, he chose to be baptized to set an example for others, to show how important and meaningful this act is for those who follow God." And Hadi writes, "Throughout my life, I have always been searching for meaning peace and truth. I've often asked myself what the real purpose of life was and how I could have a real relationship with God. Along the way, I faced challenges, confusion, and moments of spiritual emptiness, but these experiences also led me to seek God more sincerely. Gradually, as I heard the message of the gospel and became familiar with Jesus Christ, my heart was deeply touched. I came to understand that God loves me, that Jesus Christ gave his life for my sins, so that I could experience forgiveness, peace, a new life. I believe that Jesus is not only teacher and a prophet, but my Savior, and through him alone I can have a true relationship with God. Through prayer and reading God's word, I made the decision to surrender my life to Jesus Christ and accept him as my Lord and Savior. I'm growing in faith day by day, learning more. I experience God's presence in my life. He has given me hope, peace, and inner transformation. I want to be baptized as an act of obedience to Jesus, a public declaration of faith, death to the old former life, and beginning of a new life in Christ. My prayer is that God will strengthen me in this journey of faith throughout my life. And as we reflect on the celebration in heaven that Jesus talks about when just one sinner comes to repentance, and we've had three this morning, I just kind of imagine what the party is like in heaven right now. The angels rejoicing over people coming to faith. And we join in that prayer that Hadi said for Hadi and Hussein and Ellie and for ourselves as we journey on with Jesus, as we live out his celebration, as we are party people, celebrating what God is doing in our lives and inviting others to come and join the party. Our prayer is that God will strengthen us in this journey of faith throughout our lives. Amen. Amen.